Welcome to Passion. For more information about Passion, please visit us online at www.passionchurch.tv. Now let's join the service already in progress.
How many of y'all know that God is good? All right. How many of y'all, if I gave you the mic, you could testify of his goodness? I could testify of his goodness. Well, I feel like I have a word from the Lord this morning. Well, you should feel like that when you're preaching. You should feel that way. If you don't, you have a problem. And so I really feel like I have a word from the Lord this morning. I believe he's dealing with us in a particular way, and corporately dealing with our portion of the body in a particular way. And I think this is a word we need to hear. I think it's a message that is pertinent to us moving forward. That was a big buildup. It better be good now. But I actually do believe God is speaking to us this morning. If you have a Bible, turn to the fourth chapter of James. It's not going to be up there, I don't think, unless she's quick on the draw. Fourth chapter of James. Beginning at verse 13. All right. We're going to read 13 through 17. It reads, "Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and will stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it." For a topic or a theme this morning, I want to use, "This is your season." This is your season. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for your vessel. Father, speak your words. Father, allow flesh to be silent, God. Let your spirit speak to us this morning what he would have us to hear, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Your word will not go out void, God, but it'll accomplish what you sent it out to do, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Whew. How many of you know, we have four seasons? Spring, summer, fall, winter. We have to go. In Oklahoma, they're not really pronounced seasons most of the time, as we've seen lately. Man, I need to become a weatherman. That is the best job in the world in Oklahoma. You don't ever have to do your job right. Man, great job. But there are seasons. In that passage I just read, James is counseling men against the foolishness of making plans without considering God. All James is saying is that we can make any plans we wish, but God always has the final say. Then when we learn his plans for our situation or for the situation, we got to make our plans based on his plans. But we as Americans love to make our own plans. We want things to go our way. We fail to consider that God's plan could be better than our plan. There are so many examples in the Bible of people that had their own plan. Look at Peter and the other disciples. They were out fishing one night and they didn't catch a thing. And so Christ came up and said, hey, go out in the deep and cast again. Peter's plan was to forget about fishing and go somewhere and go home and go to sleep. But when he went out into the deep, he found out that God had the best plan. When Jesus told his disciples he was going to die, Peter rebuked him. No, Lord. No, not so. He thought he had a good plan. But when Jesus went to the cross and paid for the sins of all of us, he realized that maybe God had the best plan. When Goliath saw David, oh, this little stubby little dude, I'm going to feed you to the birds and the scavengers. But when that stone sunk deep into his head, he found out that God's plan was the best plan. When Israel sent spies into Canaan, saw the giants that lived there, they made plans to get themselves another leader and go on back to Egypt. But over the next 40 years, as they died one by one, they realized God had the best plan. You know, I could go on and on and on and on about that. There's a story in the Bible that kind of brings it all together. It's the story of Gideon. He had an army. It's in Judges, the 7th chapter, I think. He had an army of 32,000 men. And he was going up against an army that was just extremely larger than his. He was already outnumbered. And so he said, we're going to go fight anyway because the Lord is on our side. But God said, no, that's not my plan. We have to realize God's plan is different than our plan. As humans, when we try to make up our plans, we always try to stack the deck in our favor. Y'all know how we do it. We always try to make it so we're going to win. Sometimes I got to confess, sometimes I cheat in Monopoly. I see I probably am not the only one. Some people you can't let be the banker. Because they want two for you, one for me. I'm like, you're not supposed to get any money. But we always try to stack the deck in our favor. But that God will usually have a different plan for our life. Look at David. He was just a shepherd, but God had a different plan for his life. Job was a wealthy man that just wanted to love his family, worship God, and spend his money. But God had a different plan for his life. Joseph and Mary were a young couple. All they wanted to do was get married and have a family. That's all they wanted. But God had a different plan for their life. Look, I'm going somewhere with this. I'm on a roll with this. Just follow me. A lot of times we get so caught up in our plans that we don't think that God's plan is better than ours. We get so quick to make things so good for us that we don't realize that sometimes God has taken us through some things to get us to a certain place. God's plan is a different plan. His plan is a declared plan. Back to Gideon. He had 32,000 men. God said, no, that's too many. He said, tell those that are scared and want to go home, tell them just go on home. Go on home. So he said, those of y'all that just want to go home, your mule is in a ditch, or your wife keeps sending letters, when you coming home? Y'all go on home. And it's crazy. He had 32,000 strong men. The Bible built him up. And the second he said, who want to go home? 22,000 of them. I'm out. Peace. Good luck. His army dwindled from 32,000 to 10,000 in a matter of minutes. I imagine Gideon was thinking, cowards. I imagine he was thinking, God, what am I going to do? Then he probably said, okay, 10,000, that's still enough. I still can make some things happen with 10,000. These are mighty men. These are the men that won't, they're not scared, or they would have left already. These are the ones that are ready for battle. I got 10,000. God said, wait a minute. That's too many. I imagine Gideon was like, have you not seen the army did you not look over the hill where they're camping at down there? All of them. God said, that's too many. So he said, take them down, let them drink. Those that lap like a dog, keep them. The ones that just get on their knees, send them home. I know when he was walking down there, he was like, please lap like a dog, all of y'all. Everybody lap like a dog. I know he's probably whispering to people, when you get down there, lap like a dog. Didn't happen like that. God left him with 300. He had a declared plan. 10,000 would have messed up the plan of God. 32,000 would have messed up the plan of God. 300 were just right for the plan of God. Thing about God, he won't tell you, or he won't call you to do something and take a blind leap of faith like the world will try to act like God does. God will tell you what he told Gideon what he is going to do. He said 10,000 is too many because you guys will think you did it on your own. You'll think it was your own strength. You'll think, well, we were good enough fighters to take out the army with 10,000 soldiers. God had to whittle it down to a point where Gideon could realize and the people of Israel would realize that it had nothing to do with their strength and their power. Sometimes God will put you in a situation or allow you to get into a situation where it doesn't seem like it can be done. So he can show you about his power. God's plan is a distinct plan. God told Gideon that his men were to surround the army, the 300 men, against thousands. They were to sound their trumpets, shout for the battle, break a little clay pot containing an oil lamp. God said that he would give the enemy into their hands when they did that. Now, that don't make a lick of sense. Have a trumpet in one hand and a clay pot in the other. Where's the weapon at? How are you going to hold your weapon? They had to leave their weapons. God's plan doesn't look like our plan a lot of times. Doesn't sound like our plan a lot of times. It will call us to do things that don't make sense in the situation that we're in. Sometimes God's plan will say, give your bill money in offering. Y'all don't want to hear that. Okay. Sometimes God's plan will say, get up right now, get out of bed, go down to the corner where you know the drug dealer's at and go talk to him at 3 o'clock in the morning with dope fiends all over the place. Sometimes God's plan will say that. Sometimes God's plan will tell you to go talk to your boss about living a holy life. I don't know. We don't want to hear that. God's plan is a distinct plan. Had Gideon and his army not been willing to follow God's plan, they would have never seen the victory that God has called for them. If we're not willing to do what God has called us to do, if we're not willing to go through the places that God has called us to go through, we're not going to be able to see the victory that God has called us to. I said all that to say this. This is your season. I'm looking at all this scripture about how God has brought all these people through all these things. How Job had to go through what he had to go through. How Mary and Joseph had to go through all they had to go through. How all the people I talked about had to go through all that stuff that looked horrible, that was ridiculous and preposterous. It was their season. Some of you might be thinking it's too early to be my season. I'm too young. I can't talk. You have the Jeremiah syndrome. I'm too young to speak, or they won't listen to me. I only know a little scripture. I only know one scripture. Jesus wept. I don't know the Bible. Why would they won't listen to me? I can't tell them anything. Some of you think it's too late to be my season. I missed the mark. I missed it. I missed the promotion, and I never been there again. I missed the time when God spoke to me and told me to preach, and that was 30 years ago, and I missed that. It's too late. I'm too old. I'm too tired. I'm too this. I'm too skinny, too fat, I'm too tall, I'm too short, I'm too this, I'm too that. I'm here to let you know that if you are in God's plan, this is your season. How can this be my season? My kids are going crazy. They won't listen to me. They're out there running the streets. They won't come to church with me. My marriage is going berserk. My wife is going off on me every day. I can't stand to be in the house with her. Hallelujah. Problems on your job. Things going on just all over the place. I went out to start my car. My car wouldn't even start. How can this be my season? If you are in God's plan, this is your season. We have equated our season to being in a state of euphoria. You better check the scriptures. It was David's season. Some of you think there's only one season, spring, when things grow. No, there is a winter. That is a season. There is a fall. That is a season. We think this my season. It might be your season to go through something. It may be your season to deal with something. But if you're living under God's plan, which is what? The best plan, then God will not leave you in the middle of your situation. The Bible says with the temptation, God will make a way of escape for you attached to the temptation, attached to the situation. We think it's bad to go through something. Sometimes God has to get us into something in order to make a way of escape from that thing. No matter what you're going through, no matter what you're dealing with, no matter how bad it seems for you, if you are living in God's plan for your life, it's your season. God's not going to leave you down. He will pick you up if you just hold on to him. We've got to hold on to him. There's been some preaching out there that is just totally not biblical. Try to make you think the only time it's your season is when you get a brand new Cadillac or you get the new big house. No, it's my season right in the middle of my mess because I'm living under God's plan for my life. That's why I can walk in joy. That's why I can praise him when things are going crazy. That's why I can still lift my hands when my family's losing control. Why? Because I'm living under God's plan, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that it is my season. You might need to tell your neighbor, it's your season. Hallelujah. This may not seem like what you used to when people talk about seasons. It's my season. Woo, let's dance. Yeah, we can dance no matter what the situation is. Because I know if I'm under the plan of God, I'm living under the favor of God. The problem is we try to do things and have God bless it instead of walking in those places that God already blessed. So you know you're under the favor when you just walk in his plan. I like the way I'm preaching right now. I don't know. I like it. I'm liking this. There are so many times that I deal with in myself. I'm like, man, things aren't necessarily going the way I think they should. But I have to think about this. I'm in God's plan. God has the best plan. His plan is better than mine. And if I'm walking in his plan, his favor rests upon my life. So I might look bad and I may be down, but God has me under his control and things are going to work out for my good. And that's where you got to live this morning. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know how your life is crazy. You might be sick in your body. Your job might be on wishy-washy. I don't know. Your family might be about to just break up. But I'm here to let you know, if you are living in God's plan, all things will work together for your good. They're going to work together for your good. So you're wondering, how do I know, or what should I do to be under God's plan? First thing you got to do is surrender. Surrender does something to the ego, especially with us men. We don't like to surrender anything. We capture. We overtake. We don't surrender. No, sir. But if you want to be under God's plan, you must surrender. Gideon had 32,000. He could have said, God, you crazy. Keep my 32,000, and we're going to go do our best. Wouldn't have worked. Gideon said, you know what? I'm going to listen to you, because 32,000 isn't enough anyway. Because their army was way bigger than 32,000. We've got to surrender to the plans of God. Secondly, God's plan requires submission. For God's plan to succeed, Gideon and his army had to submit to God's plan. He had to just watch it happen. He had to submit to it and say, you know what? I'm all in. That's our problem most of the time. We kind of, you know, when you go swimming, there are two ways to get in the pool. Woo! Ankles, takes you a long time. And then there's the other way. And just dive in. The second way is actually the better way. Because it just takes too much time and too much pain. Especially, anyway. Feel me, fellas. third thing is God's plan requires steadfastness. Just got to stay the course. A lot of times we say, God, yeah, I got you. I'm with you. I surrender. I'm submitting. And then we only do it for a week or Sunday morning at the altar. And then we go outside and we lose it. We've got to be steadfast. Folks, listen to me. Do not believe the definition of your season that people try to give you. It doesn't matter if you're on your deathbed. It doesn't matter if things are going berserk in your life. If you are living in God's plan, it is your season. It is your season. And so you can still praise him. You can still rejoice in the middle of hell if you can understand this principle. Stand to your feet with me. Some of us in here this morning are definitely in situations that don't look good. Don't feel good. Don't seem good. But I'm here to let you know this is your season. I want to pray for you this morning that you could receive that word and you could allow it to penetrate your heart and your mind and you can change the way you think. Change the way you think about seasons and realize I'm in God's plan and this is my season no matter what's going on. And I can rejoice in that fact. Father, we just honor you. We honor you for your word. We honor you, God, for speaking to us this morning. We honor you because you're worthy and you're a God that has our best interest in mind. God, your plan is the best plan, God. I've tried it on my own. I've tried my way, God, and it never works out the way I think it should. But every time I try it your way, Father, it works out wonderfully. Father, your plan is the best plan. Give me the strength and the will to live under your plan. Give us the strength and will to live under your plan, God. That way we can realize that it is our season, God. No matter what season, it's our season. We honor you, God. We give you glory, Father. In Jesus' name. Why don't you lift your hands and say, this is my season.
It's been a privilege to have you join us for this time of ministry. To find more Passion resources or to make a donation online, visit www.passionchurch.tv. Remember, you can't live without passion.